announcement came down at 1 o'clock, and at 1:03, I got a text message from one of my best friends in the whole world, who diehard ASU fan. And he's like, please explain to me why ASU is going to open the season against U of A. Please explain it to me. So I did the best I could, but, you know, it's one of those things that you see it, and it's just so shocking. And yet in 2020, everything that you see is so shocking. So here to lend a little perspective to what's going on with all of this from SunDevilSource.com on the day the Pac-12 announced their reconfigured schedule that has ASU opening the season against the Wildcats. It's Chris Cartman from SunDevilSource.com. He joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Chris, hope you're safe and well. Thanks for stopping by for a few. We appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Glad to be with you guys.
Shocked? Not shocked? What's it going to be like to open the season against your rival and not close the season against your rival?
Well, you summed it up best. 2020 is a crazy year, so you can't be too shocked with anything. My understanding is, just from a logistical standpoint and flexibility within the scheduling, trying to have some of these rivalry games early, make sure that they get them in. You don't have to fly. You don't have to stay in hotels. They are kind of spread out with other teams throughout the schedule, but none of them are the last game of the year. Some of them are not in the first game, but they're early on. Some of them are more toward the middle. They still were trying to make sure that they could get something that every school would be able to approve, which is 5 home games, 5 road games, and then having not have to play, you know, 3 games in a row on the road and things like that. So there's some obstacles, but this is what ended up being.
You know, Chris, we talked about just flexibility, right? I mean, it's Major League Baseball tried to cram 60 games in 67 days, and it's completely backfiring. They got 6 teams that can't play right now. You got to have some flexibility in the schedule. Now, they don't have a lot in the Pac-12. They don't have a lot, but they've got a little bit. So there's a little bit of a margin for error in case they're not able to play a game where, like, if they couldn't start the season against U of A, ASU could play that game at another time. So at least there is a little flexibility.
Right, yeah, Larry Scott talked about possibly being able to move back that first game to the bye week in the third week if they need to, possibly being able to move a game back to the end of December, or the end of the schedule in December, I should say, if they need to. And nobody's going to say it right now, guys, but let's not rule out the possibility of having some of the games be played before the holidays, and then maybe them having to make a determination based upon how much was able to be concluded of the schedule if they're going to try to play some after, given what you said correctly about Major League Baseball. And let's face it, football, you have a lot more players involved. The NFL is harder than Major League Baseball, in my opinion. And then college sports are tougher than pro sports because you don't have the same financial ability. You can't wall players off quite as much from peers. You have more of them. You have students in classes. They don't have the same ability to live in expensive places or nice kind of areas where they can be walled off. So you just have more intermingling of people. And so this is a logistical nightmare that they're trying their best to sort out.
Yeah, Chris Cartman from SunDevilSource.com, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. From best you've been able to tell, what's been the reaction within the Sun Devil football community, the Sun Devil athletic committee, with a schedule that is just so abnormal from what we're used to?
Well, I think people just want to see football. They just wanted the things that they love, their creature comforts, the traditional types of things. They're willing to give up in order to see some football be played, even if that means that you're playing a Territorial Cup game for the first time to start the season since 1937, right? Like, they just want to see football be played, and they want to see they want to be able to go to the game. Some of them, a lot of them are fine not being able to go to the games, but just being able to have it on TV and something to talk about with their friends and loved ones and coworkers and everything. And the financial element of this is really important and can't be overlooked, which is that these schools really need football. We're talking about dozens of millions of dollars and they aren't running, you know, on profit every single year. These guys are, most of the schools are break even or losing a little bit of money. So they're going to have to really shrink down their athletic departments in terms of the number of employees, furloughs, cutting sports, all that stuff on the table if they don't get this in. So there's a lot of stress around this sort of a situation.
Chris, fill me in time-wise, you know, when they're going to start practicing compared to when they were supposed to start practicing. Are there any issues at all? You know, in baseball, we're seeing a lot of top players go down with injuries. Clayton Kershaw's not pitching. Strasburg's not pitching. Verlander's not pitching. Kluber's not pitching. Is there any concern at all with the time frame that they're allowing the teams to get started in practice?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Gambo. There's not a lot of equality in this sort of a situation because you have some schools like ASU where guys have now been in the weight room for a month, and then you have other places, California schools, University of Washington, where the state laws are prohibiting that. So those guys haven't even gotten into their weight room. The football staff can't even go to the offices and work. So they're sort of behind the curve, but then you have the semester schools are going to be disadvantaged to the fall, to the quarter system schools because they start later, so they have more time. So there's like these competing sorts of things. And what they've done is typically you have a 29-day window to your first game when you can start camp for ASU. That's usually right around the first couple days of August. What they're doing this year now in the Pac-12 is they're going to have a 40-day window in which you can have 25 practices. So that starts on, I believe, August 17th.
Yeah.
So they're going to be starting 2 weeks later than normal.
Yeah. Chris, real quick, leave us with this. ASU, we're not getting, you know, regular reports on how they're doing, how many positive tests. Some schools are releasing that information. Some schools are not releasing that information. From what you're hearing, and I think I asked you this the last time you were on, from what you're hearing, how is ASU doing when it comes to their testing?
Yeah, so I have talked to the parents of some players and other people close to them, some high school coaches of players, and of course, sources at ASU. And while I don't have specific numbers, what I've heard is that they feel like it's been overwhelmingly successful. There have been hundreds and hundreds of tests administered to their players. ASU has some advanced testing capability with saliva, and the bubble has held up extremely well at ASU, which I think has also kind of interestingly been the case at a lot of schools around the country doing well. My one question / concern would be what happens when all of their peers start coming back to campuses and there's a lot more intermingling and that makes it tougher.
Right. Chris, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.